Today's Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 10 through 62, verse 3. And I'm reading from the NIV translation. Hear now the reading of God's Word. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. From August 2014 to July 2015, I taught English in an after-school program in Daejeon, South Korea, as a young adult volunteer through the Presbyterian Church USA. It was there I discovered that my 8- and 9-year-old students knew more about peace than I did. One day I asked them, "Muasu pyeonghwayeyo? What is peace? What does peace look like?" I asked them to draw what they thought the world looked like now and what it would look like at peace. I watched in sorrow as Min Sung drew a man lying bloody in the street, someone standing above him with a gun. Min Sung then said that peace is when there is no more war. I watched in awe as Ria Won drew two stick figures hugging. She said that peace will come when the two Koreas are reunified and there is no more fighting. She spoke with intensity and such certainty. Since I had them draw their visions of peace in early 2015, there have been thousands of mass shootings. Since 2015, relationships between the U.S. and the rest of the world have become more strained, with nuclear war being casually tossed around as if it couldn't destroy the world. There is civil war happening in Syria, and in Myanmar, there is the genocide of the Rohingya people. There are more and more refugees seeking asylum daily and being denied. Every day, we wake up to hear of more tragic and evil things happening in the world. This world is hardly peaceful, and neither was the world of the prophet Isaiah. Our passage from Isaiah comes from what is known as 3rd Isaiah, chapters 55 through 66 of the book. The first part of Isaiah speaks of the condemnation of Israel, and the second is written while Israel is in exile. The Israelites have been captured and moved away from their land and homes. Second Isaiah offers hope to the Israelites who are preparing to return to the land from exile, promising glory and a great return. In Third Isaiah, the prophet responds to a people who have returned to a less than stellar situation. The temple is still in ruins. Pagan practices are quickly resumed, and there is economic oppression of the poor. Things are looking a little depressing. The Israelite people need hope. They are struggling. They aren't very sure about the world around them. God has promised to be with them always and promised for a great return. Isaiah, a prophet of God, steps forward to offer a promise. Just prior to our scripture for the day, Isaiah's calling is declared. He will bring good news to the oppressed, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn so that they might find joy instead of sorrow. We then come to our passage for the day. In it, Isaiah declares that he will not be silent. He will continue to proclaim the promises of God for Israel, and he will continue to seek justice for the oppressed. In Isaiah's call, we hear Isaiah's vision of peace. His vision of peace given to him by God is to lift up the weak, free the imprisoned, and comfort the hurting. The Israelites, God's chosen people, must also work towards this goal. It will not happen simply with their thoughts and prayers, but with the move to lift up the weak and weary. It will likely not happen without their cooperation. God isn't about forced loyalty. Isaiah will not be silent until the day that all of this is realized. Isaiah will not stop until God's people are celebrated, decorated like a bride or a groom, and that all know the greatness of God. Isaiah's refusal to stay silent leads me to think of God's persistence in pursuing a relationship with God's people. As I said, God is not interested in forced relationships, but God is persistent. So much so that God comes down to be present with us in the person of Jesus. In our passage from Luke, Jesus' parents did what they were to do, go to the temple and offer a sacrifice according to Jewish tradition. There, they meet Simeon, who we are told is righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Simeon declares that he can go in peace because he has seen God's salvation for the world. Simeon and Anna attest to seeing the fulfillment of God's promise to lift up God's people out of oppression. Jesus indeed provides salvation to the world. Simeon also attests to the fact that Jesus will not only bring salvation, but will be opposed when doing so, because Jesus will expose the hidden motivations of all. Jesus called his followers to act in love, caring for the poor, the sick, and the oppressed. And indeed, Jesus was opposed because he spoke against oppressive actions taken by the leaders of his community. It seemed that Jesus' vision of peace is the same as the vision given to Isaiah. In order to achieve the vision that God has promised and given, the people of God must also act in faith and love, caring for those around them. We, O church, must not sit idly by. It seems that Isaiah's call to bring the good news to the oppressed, to heal the brokenhearted, and set the captives free is part of our call as the people of God. Jesus brings the ultimate salvation. We must continue to care for the oppressed and to seek justice and to end the oppression present in the world while we wait for Jesus to come again. Salvation occurs not only in our innermost beings, but more so in the social arrangements in which we live. A righteous society looks like a society in which the oppressed are lifted up and honored and captives are set free. Let us take a step back into the 30s in Germany. A theologian named Dietrich Bonhoeffer spoke out against Hitler and the Nazi state. Bonhoeffer believed that the human rights violations, the abuse, the murder of people simply because of their Jewish ancestry was wrong. Bonhoeffer believed in and advocated for the vision of peace that Isaiah talks about. He was in the minority, part of what is called the confessing church. The rest of the church in Germany remained silent. Bonhoeffer died because he spoke out against the Holocaust and the Nazi Party. Look at Martin Luther King Jr. He spoke out against hundreds of years of abuse, fighting for equality. He too died because he opposed the social norm. Look at Erica Garner, daughter of Eric Garner, who died crying, "I can't breathe," and the rest of the Black Lives Matter movement. All lives matter, yes, but there are people who are being oppressed, and these movements bring life and attention to these inequalities. There are many injustices in this world. Church, we cannot sit idly by, and we cannot remain silent. I don't think we all have to rush out here and become martyrs or widely known names. I think it begins at a lower level, though certainly something more than offering only our thoughts and prayers. Of course we must pray, but it doesn't stop there. In order to begin to right the injustices in the world, we must become aware of the injustices and learn about them from reputable sources. We must learn about current written and unwritten laws, which are exploited in ways which oppress the vulnerable. Once we are aware, we can become involved. We can seek out those already doing the work necessary to change society, from big brothers, big sisters, to the people who march to show their indignation at justice and organize to help bring awareness to the often subversive oppression all around the world. We can be involved by supporting their endeavors, or we can be active in the movements ourselves. Indeed, we are already doing much of the work there is to do. This past Thursday, I accompanied Sarah, our youth group, and the youth group of the Rodef Shalom Synagogue as we prepared and served a meal for the residents at the East End Cooperative Ministries shelter. The children had the opportunity to sit down with the residents and have conversations. Our involvement can be as simple as getting to know another person. Listen to them. Learn what their life is like. We, like Isaiah, are called to shine the light of promise. We can start small, doing what we are capable of, and work from there. We can start by adopting Isaiah's vision of peace and keep hope for the weary alive by seeking justice, even if it means opposition by the people who gain power by exploiting others. Our hope in God's promise shines a light for the rest of the world to see. About a month after I asked my students in Korea to draw their vision of peace, I took the children outside to play. Ryowon gave me a small ring made of two small flowers and a hug. Her drawing of the two hugging stick figures and the images of war from my trip to the demilitarized zone were still fresh in my mind. This small child, living in a divided country, gave me flowers and a hug, images of hope. Hope that justice and peace are possible. The song that we will sing in a few moments, Dream On, Dream On, came to my attention after I returned to the U.S. and began seminary. It paints a picture much like the one that Ryawan drew. Predator and prey rest together in harmony. Enemies commune together, eating the same food. The song reminds me to keep hoping, to keep dreaming that the vision of peace pursued by Isaiah, promised and pursued in Jesus, and sought after by the church today, though difficult, is possible, and it will happen.
Brothers and sisters, we sing and we pray and we hope for a world of peace, a world of joy, a world of love, a world in which we can live in harmony with one another. And so let us pray together. Pray for that vision of peace. Pray for God's kingdom to come even now. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your vision for your church, for your vision for your world, for your vision for us, for our hearts and for our lives. We praise you that your vision is one of hope, is one in which brother and sister, old and young, man and woman, gay and straight, persons of all colors, of all ethnic backgrounds, of all religions, all of your people and all of our diversity might live in peace with one another and with the world that you made. And so hear our prayer that your vision will come to be, our prayer that your vision will come to pass through us and in the world in which we live. And so, loving God, we pray for all nations of the earth, that governments and those in authority may protect the vulnerable, shelter the oppressed, and pursue the way of peace. We pray for our city and for all places of human interaction and livelihood. When we come together, we pray that kindness may abound, compassion prevail, and harmony endure. And we pray for your planet Earth, our home. May we honor her gifts, respect her limitation, and protect her resources. We pray for all who are troubled this day, for those who are battling illness, hardship, or conflict, that they may receive healing for their bodies, release from their burdens, and mending of their brokenness. Might your healing mercy rain down upon all who are in need, bringing wholeness and new life. Gracious and loving God, as this year ends and a new one begins, we give you thanks that you are the God of new beginnings, who in Christ came to us as a baby that we might know the newness that comes through the forgiveness of our sins. And we give you thanks for the new life won for us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so hear our prayers. Hear the prayers on our hearts. And guide us into this next new beginning, that we and all your world might know your peace and your love. We lift our prayers to you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.